Hey everyone, this is Chris. Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. It's a new year, so happy new year. We're just going to say that up front. Happy new year. It is a new year. It is a new season. And since it's a new season, we have a new season sponsor. And that sponsor is Ting, crazy fast fiber optic internet for North Idaho. They are in Sandpoint currently. You can go to ting.com/internet, click on Sandpoint, check your address, see if it works for you in your area. If it's not, then you can reserve it for down the line. And so they know that you want Ting in your neck of the woods. And the more people that reserve there, they know where to go next with that crazy fast fiber optic internet. So thank you so much, Ting, for being our season sponsor here. We're in episode 10. We're going to have a great interview today with Kate McAllister with the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce and the newly elected and has been sworn in to be a city council woman for City of Sandpoint. So she's doing that. So we're going to talk politics. We're going to talk the chamber. And we're also going to have a after conversation on our Patreon. If you go to patreon.com, sometimes when conversations that are maybe a little controversial, whether it's religion or politics or anything like that, where it kind of gets a little more intense, we put that on Patreon. If you want to subscribe there, you can go to patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown. You can subscribe there and get that extra content on Patreon. And there are some different pricing options there for you. Every dollar helps so that we can be able to produce this show and make this show happen. We also want to thank Bonner Community Housing Agency as our primary sponsor, who's given us this space and given us the ability to put this show together. And so thank you to BCHA as well. And you can find out more about Bonner Housing at bonnerhousing.org. All right. With that, we're going to go ahead and go to the good report. And, you know, it's a new year. How many of you know that when you are entering into the new year, you give a toast, right? You have some type of toast that you give, and people say cheers, and they smash glasses together. Hopefully not smash them, but they clink their glasses together. So what I want to do here in the new year, and I was talking to my wife about it, and she came up with the idea of all credit goes to where credit is due. She said, well, why don't you do like a toast? Because I'm like, I got to do something fun. So take your mug, take whatever it is that you've got, that you put vessels, that vessel that holds water, right? So, or coffee or whatever you're drinking right now, grab your cup, grab your can of pop, grab whatever you got and grab that thing. And let's just give a cheers to the good in our lives. There is good in our life. There is always something good you can think about, always something good you can put your mind on, good memories, good thoughts, good thoughts about the future. Something amazing might have happened to you today. So let's give a toast to the good and the good report. And we just say cheers to the good report. Now with that, normally we clink our glasses together and I'll put it out there and go clink, right? But today we get to go ting. Isn't that nice? Okay. Congratulations on the good report. All right. With that, I want to just talk real briefly about something amazing that happened over the winter holidays. We've taken a big break. You know, I think the last week between Christmas and New Year's is like, I don't know what day it is. I don't know if a bank's open or closed. Can I make a dump run? Huh? What day is it? I've got no idea. It's just one of those kind of weird spaces where everything seems funky. But during that time, from the week prior to Christmas all the way through December 31st, our supporters at Bonner Community Housing Agency pitched in over $8,000 for our transitional housing to help combat homelessness here in Bonner County. So a kudos to you. We had 24 donors, that individual donors that gave, a couple local businesses, and we just say thank you, right? Amazing. Just so grateful. What a good report. So again, cheers to the good report. Ting. All right. Now, with that, we're going to jump right into our episode today with Kate McAllister. Enjoy this episode number 10 with Kate McAllister. So, Kate, thanks for coming on to the Bonner Breakdown. Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad that you're here. Yeah. You are our initial guest for the second season.
Season two?
Season two, sponsored by Ting.
Yay, right? Ting.
Crazy fast internet.
Yes.
So Ting's our sponsor now for the second season of the Bonner Breakdown, which is about 18 episodes that we do.
Nice.
In a season, we'll see how long that takes and for us to fill up our docket for great guests. And I know that we got quite a few people that were wanting to get in here.
Okay.
You know, and so, of course, you're pretty connected and you'll sling some people over here for us.
You know it.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you on.
Thank you.
I know that we had talked about having you on back during the election.
Da, da, da.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You made it through the gauntlet.
I did. It was great.
Of debate. Wait, it's not really debate. Each one was an auditory vomit forum.
Right, exactly.
I think that because there wasn't like opportunity to really go back and forth. It's just here's my position, which was all filled out already on a piece of paper. It was like, and it didn't seem like there was any opportunity for really any dialogue. But what was nice is a couple times there was opportunity to say that thing that person just said, that is not true.
Right.
Then there was a lot of that, you know, and of course, you know, we live in a world of alternative facts nowadays. So
it's very
difficult, but congratulations.
Well, I found them difficult too, because there were times that I really wanted to expound on what I had to say, but, you know, and there's so many of you, especially there was one at the library. I think there were 15 of us
I remember that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Cause I pointed you out. I called you out in the audience.
I know you're shout out Chris Bassett. Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your history today. We're going to be all over the map, and I know that you're really fun to talk to as far as rabbit trails go.
Right.
So if we find a topic that we want to run down the trail, we'll just do that.
Okay.
One of the reasons why we're doing Bonner Breakdown is because of that issue.
Right.
Especially when it gets into what's going on in our community. Because oftentimes if you're very passionate about something, it's very difficult to put that into 400 words or less.
Right. Yes. It is.
And a lot of interviews have really big restraints, time-wise restraints on conversation, you know, in lots of different areas. We try to remove all those if possible. As you know, we've got some rules with our guests. Like we're not going to say anything negative about people,
right?
But we're going to talk about ideas all day long.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for what we're doing here because, like you said in that forum, how do you expand?
Right.
How do you go to that next level?
Right.
You just can't. So if you got things that are really, you know, pushing your buttons, you feel free to let me have it. Let's have the conversation. Yeah, I know. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that too.
Don't worry. Okay. So, Kate, tell us a little bit about your history. When did you come to Sandpoint?
I came here because of a boy. Well, okay. Wow. A man. 27 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. 27 years ago.
Yeah.
When awesome. I commuted the first 15 back and forth to Spokane.
Okay.
Because I worked at Itron Corporation. I was their manager of community investment. So I gave away $6 million a year all over the world.
Awesome.
I ran all the employee volunteer programs at every location that we had. And that's what I did.
I had no idea you worked for Itron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Spokane, so I have a friend that was an engineer there for a long time. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I loved it. And then we had a CEO come along that said, I don't believe in giving away money, and so I'm cutting your department. And that was okay. I was getting tired of the commute, and then the chamber job opened up, and I thought, I can do that, because part of my job was to do organizational audits for nonprofits. Because my CEO said, if we're going to give somebody $10,000 to $50,000, I want to know that they're running the organization correctly.
That's great.
And so when this job came up, I thought, I could probably do that.
Yeah, good. And so you started at the chamber what year?
End of 2009.
Right. Okay. Because 2008 was when I left the executive committee at the chamber. I'd been very involved and was vice president at the time.
Nice.
Was about to be president when I resigned from the board because I was in the process of switching gears, getting married, you know, got called into ministry.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to give up my mortgage business, head into this, you know, weird spot where I'm not making any money at the church.
Right.
And I'm going to go to work for this tiny little nonprofit called BCHA.
Yeah.
And just do some administrative work as while we work to develop stuff. So that was, I remember I had just resigned. Amy left and then you came and you and I didn't connect for several years.
I know, right?
And it's because I was just so drilled down on just getting the stuff done. So, but over the past few years, we've gotten to hang out a bit. So tell me a little bit about the family. Like you have kids.
I do.
You know, obviously, you got a husband, which is cool.
I have four children. They're all in their 40s. Oh, that's hard to say. two of them, let's see, two of them live in Washington, one in Issaquah, one in Tacoma. My youngest son lives in Boise. My oldest daughter lives in New Orleans.
And wow, I have New Orleans, that's a ways away.
It is a ways away. And it's really expensive to send stuff. The same package, I sent them today as a matter of fact, the same package to both girls to Seattle was $10 for 2 days. It was $31 ground to New Orleans.
Right. Wow.
If I wanted to send it priority, it would have been $81.
Wow.
So I love New Orleans, but to get there.
Too far away.
Yeah, it is too far away. Too far away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite the journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have other ties here other than just you and your hubby and.
No. Well, my husband has lived here for 47 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He came here as a young hippie right out of college, forestry.
Come on.
Right. Yeah. He was 24 and he came here in the 70s. Started planting trees because back then the government didn't want to pay their people to plant trees. So he was very entrepreneurial, got a bunch of other hippies together, awesome people who are now respectable business owners.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Right, yeah.
And they planted trees. He's planted over 2 million trees in his lifetime.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have enough carbon credits to last me
That's
forever.
Good. That's good. Well, at least for your conscience.
Right. Yeah. You know? Through generations. So. And he just retired from firefighting. He was an engine boss for wildfires. Okay. So he did that for 38 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
So
that's
he lived here. I lived in Spokane and I wanted to come here and
That's good.
Right.
So when you began really getting involved here and you started working at the chamber, obviously you'd been here often. For 15 years.
Right.
In commuting, what are some things that kind of stood out to you about the community of Sandpoint? Well, you know, when you first got here, was there anything that you go, wow, that's unique?
I loved it. Well, we'll back up even a bit further.
Sure.
I grew up in generational poverty, and so my family was very transient, and we didn't live very many places. I grew up in a very addict-oriented family.
Wow.
And so the thing that I loved the most about Sandpoint, and even while I was commuting, the one thing that I did here to have my feet in was I joined the Angels over Sandpoint.
Oh, okay.
Because and that appealed to me because, I mean, if somebody needed their toilet scrubbed, the Angels were there to do it. I liked the hands-on work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved that it was a real, and I still do, that it's a real community. Mm-hmm. That you can walk down the street and it's like, hi, Chris, how you doing? And,
yeah, yeah.
And we know about each other and we care about each other. And so I love that. I feel compelled to, and I never had a place that was really home.
Yeah.
I mean, and even Spokane, I was busy raising kids and, you know, and so this really, I just love the little town.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the people are amazing and, well, most of them.
Let's be honest.
Right, right.
So you get involved at the chamber and you began to work with local businesses.
Right.
Right. You began to, obviously, the chamber does a lot of different things. And most people are pretty clueless as to what a chamber of commerce actually does.
Right.
I think that most people are aware that there's a political arm of the national and state chambers.
Correct.
And so I think a lot of people view the chamber through that light,
mm-hmm.
but maybe doesn't have a perspective on what a local chamber does.
Right.
So when you start getting involved, what were some of the things that you learned about, you know, the obviously local chamber and anything unique about ours that kind of stood out to you?
Well, the great thing about our chamber, even though I did run for office, is it's nonpartisan, nonpolitical. Mm-hmm. We represent everyone equally, no matter what you're still. We don't belong to the national chamber, one, because it is political, and two, it's really cost prohibitive for a little chamber. I mean, I think it was $3,000 to $5,000, and we can't afford that.
No, that's a lot.
And so our chamber is different from the Coeur d'Alene chamber. Coeur d'Alene chamber is very legislative driven, and they belong to the national organization. Ours, when we started our local chamber, from what I understand, it was really for promotion and marketing.
That's right.
Yep. Because we, you know, the small, because we're nothing but moms and pops, and they needed some help. They're busy doing everything else. And so that's what we do. That's what our forte is, promotion and marketing and really helping them succeed. I've helped write, you know, marketing plans for businesses. Mm-hmm. And that was difficult for me because if you ask people who know me, I'm a planner. I mean, I plan everything. And so... probably goes back to, you know, nothing, everything being in disarray when you were young, right? So I plan everything.
Totally, yeah.
Right? And so then when I would go to the businesses, it was funny, when I first started, and we call it chambering, we invented a verb, I would go around to all the little businesses, and some of them who weren't chamber members, their first initial reaction was, I'm not joining the chamber, why are you here? And I would say, I'm just here to find out how you're doing, because you're part of the community, and... you know, and then after that, they got used to it. And so they knew that I wasn't going to force them. It's not a thing that I'm going to force you to be in. You have to want to be in it.
Yeah.
And so I really, now when we, you know, the whole staff, all three of us, when we go chambering, people know it. It's like, oh, come on in. And, you know, and they answer my questions when I say, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Because I really want to know, especially like right now we're in shoulder season and it's really tough for our little businesses.
Yeah. And we just started shoulder. Oh, so hasn't even begun yet, but still.
And they've had construction and
lots of tough. Yeah.
And that was kind of that was one of my impetus too for running for council, is that I really wanted to represent those voices that are so busy. They don't have time to get out and, you know, do things.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so the chamber, that's what we do, and we hold events. Whenever the chamber has an event, yes, we need to make a little money because we're a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And you fundraise for a living, right?
That's right.
That's what you do. You get good at it. And but when we do an event, the added component is economic vitality.
Right. Yeah, you that's great.
So the Scenic Half Marathon, we bring in 600 to 800 people. They stay in our hotels. They eat at our restaurants and shop, and even Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Most of the people come over from Spokane. And so that's our added component for our events.
No, that's great. Yeah. It's great. And I think it's really important to have opportunities for businesses to work together on specific types of things. I think most small business owners tend to just have such a narrow focus on, because it is life or death.
Yes.
And I don't think most people understand running a small business.
Right.
One numerical error on a sale can upend your business.
Yes.
Right. One numerical error on inventory can set you out thousands of dollars. And I think that that's so often it's stressful running your own business.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, and especially if you're going to be successful, it does require a lot of planning. It does require a lot of that. So having an organization that says, well, if you, we'll keep you up to date. Rich, you guys do great with your newsletters.
Right.
You know, we'll keep you up to date. We'll make sure that you have opportunities when you're available to network, or maybe have access to other professional organizations and services that may be helpful to you in different opportunities. I think it just takes a big burden off the back of a lot of small business owners as far as, how do I connect in the local business community?
Right.
Because I got to focus on this right now. You know, like, I got to make sure this thing flies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and I think shoulder seasons are a great time for networking.
They are.
They're a great time to get out of the shell, because, you know what? Business is slower.
Yeah.
I got to conserve energy. I got to conserve dollars. I got to conserve all of this stuff. I've got a plan. I got to establish marketing plans. I got to do all this stuff, which you should be doing in your shoulders while you're not slammed.
Well, and hopefully the interesting thing is, when new... it would be really great if every new business would actually come talk to the chamber before they started business. Because the sad news is those that aren't aware of the shoulder season, this one now and the one in April, is that all of a sudden there's no business. And like you said, They didn't plan for that.
They did not plan.
You know, it's like the little squirrel. You've got to gather and store all your nuts in the summer and during ski season for those downtimes.
I don't know how many businesses, I don't know, I've been here 15 years, and I don't know how many businesses that I've seen start off in the fall, rocket over the winter, and they're done by spring.
Right.
Because they ran out of money, they didn't plan.
Right.
Because you just, it's so difficult.
It is, right. You know? And we are one of the best referral services.
Oh, that's true.
You know, and it's cheap. I mean, it's, you know, when you're a new member, it's $175 and then it goes up to $250. But we are your best referral service. Mm-hmm. We get calls every single day that we say, oh, you should go see. And the difference between the previous executive director and myself is that if there's no chamber member who does what the person wants, I will recommend whoever in town does it.
Correct. Yeah.
Because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
It's great if you belong to the chamber, but.
Well, and you guys started the kind of the online referral registry, right? Business registry.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a business, you're looking for something, you can go to the chamber's website, which is.
Sandpointchamber.com.
Okay, good.
Wait, I'm gonna go to the website.
It'll be in the links below. So sandpointchamber.com. And you can actually look at a business registry, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and you can see, you know, oh, this is the type of business I'm looking for. You can search for all different types of stuff. And you can also, I think there's reviews on there. Are there still reviews? There was at the very beginning.
I don't think we have reviews on there, right?
Yeah.
Well, we do get calls, like people will call us because we don't have a better business bureau.
That's right.
You know, and they call and complain, and it's like, I'm sorry, we don't have a better business bureau. However, though, if it's something that we know the business owner will call and say, I just want to let you know,
FYI.
Yeah, this happened. And you know, and the other half of the house is tourism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether we, you know, agree with it or like it or not.
Well, that's a whole nother side that I wanted to get into because that's the other thing that the chamber really helps oversee. Two separate entities, but it's all ran through the chamber.
Right.
Right. So explain to us the kind of what that is on the tourism side. What do you guys do?
So what we do is basically we market Sandpoint to outside the area.
Okay.
The only, as a 501c6, a membership organization, there are very few grants I can apply for. Almost none.
Yeah. It's very minimal.
Yeah. And it's really difficult. If I ran a 501c3, I would be a grant writing fool.
Yep.
So the only one of the grants we can apply for is the state tourism grant, and that's based on bed tax collection. So when visitors come to our town and you see that little 2% or whatever, then that all goes to the state, and then we get a certain percentage of it back. Since when I started, we were getting $86,000, and now this year we received $205,000.
Okay.
So.
And is that based on like a population or a revenue based?
It's revenue based.
Okay.
Right. For our region, and we're region one.
Right.
And so we've done really well. I mean, we keep getting visitors and every year it goes up, and it is a tax, yes, but it's not paid by us. It's paid by the visitors.
Correct. Yeah.
And if you travel anywhere, you know, when they say $79 a room, it's not $79 a room.
Yeah.
You know, some places like LA, it's almost 20%. So it can be big. And so we get a portion of that. And then the stipulation is we cannot advertise locally. The closest I can advertise is Spokane. So we have to advertise outside of the area to bring people in. Our biggest market is Seattle by far. Portland, San Francisco, LA. And then, of course, Spokane and Coeur d'Alene, but I can't advertise in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah,
Spokane is, you know, like for Winter Carnival that's coming up. Mm-hmm. We'll put in a series of three ads in the Inlander to get people to come here. And that's about a $6,000 ad buy. Mm-hmm. We do digital with Seattle Magazine. We've done videos. If you go to visitsandpoint.com, that's our website.
Okay, that'll be in the links below.
Yes, and, you know, we do a lot of great things. And even, you know, when people say we need to get rid of tourism, I'm tired of tourists, then what I want is I want your answer as to what we would put in its place. Because our businesses cannot survive without tourism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's just the way.
Yeah.
That's the way that
realities have shifted over the years. And
we
have, you know, it was funny. It went from manufacturing to service in some sectors.
Right.
Moved away from some regions, moved away from the manufacturing and moved into service. And now, like here, we do have some manufacturing jobs, which is amazing. Like, it's great having businesses like Lighthouse, and, you know, we can, you know, go down the line. But it's also a whole nother sector of employable businesses,
Right.
whether it's seasonal or not, that are able to, we're able to generate income, bring
Right.
people in, make some money, in these seasons. So we saw that shift happening when it was already a huge shift over the last 20 years.
Right.
It's just growing,
Well, in
right?
tourism, I think it's number three in the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
And the thing that, and we had a study commissioned by the Lohr Foundation, Headwater Economics, in 2015, and tourism is only 35 to 40% of our economy, which a lot of people, oh, it's all tourism. No, because we have a very diversified
We
economy. We
do.
are the aerospace mecca of Idaho, which people are like, what? But we are. We have Quest and we have Tamarack, and we have all of these things that people don't understand. It's just that tourism is more in your face. And in the summer there's no parking
Well,
and
let's just be honest. It's more irritating for locals. I think it's more irritating to be like, oh, there's another Washington plate or a
In the wrong
Utah
lane.
plate or a Canadian plate,
Right.
and I think, yeah, in the wrong lane. I think it is one of those gift and curse types of things. Like, okay, and the servers, the people who are, working these seasonal part-time gig jobs, they need the tourism to stay here.
Well, and when people, business owners say it doesn't pertain to me, like the tire store owner, I'm really. So the service person who can make a good money in the summertime, they're going to be able to afford tires because of those tips. And so it does, it's a trickle down. It does
It
affect
does.
all of us. And if we were to completely get rid of tourism, it would be devastating. Even our events, in 2000, I don't know, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago when the smoke was so bad that we
Right.
had to cancel.
2015.
Yes,
Oh,
we had to
that was a
cancel
horrible smoke year.
the soccer tournament.
That's right.
That was a $10,000 hit in one day to one restaurant. And it was a $7,000 hit to another restaurant in Ponderay. Those are huge. Those are huge. And and so
Okay,
we're gonna
wait,
have to put
wait.
up with that.
A day.
A day. One day.
One day.
One day.
So it wasn't like, oh yeah, we're gonna miss 10 grand in the next month. It was a
A
day.
day.
Oh, and they've got to pay people
Right.
with that money and
Right.
okay. All right. I see.
Right. Right. So, our little town, I mean, that's tourism is just a part of it. When there's a recession, like in 2009, then tourism kind of slows
Dips.
down and,
Dips.
people lose their jobs or get laid off. And
And then we're dealing with a whole new set of issues, right? The dynamics of homelessness changed dramatically in 08, 09. And I think, yeah. Oh, was that? Were you getting my
Sorry,
attention?
my arm was asleep.
Oh, my producer's arm fell asleep. I saw a
Oh,
hand go up. I'm
man.
like, oh, what do
What's happening?
you do? It's nice. We can edit.
Oh,
But
good.
I probably won't edit that out at all. So,
Sure, no.
because it's just, it's
Real.
just real. We're in a studio recording.
That's right.
That whole situation changed so many things. Housing prices, what was available. A lot of people left the community. A lot of people moved on. They couldn't, they were like, wow, I don't have a job now. I got to go. We had a had kind of a weird transition happen, I think, with Coldwater and other things happening in that season too that made it kind of difficult. But things swing.
That's right.
I always remember that every time anybody starts to panic that things are going in one direction too far, I'm always like, no, there's a pendulum.
Just wait.
And the overall curve might be moving in one direction, but every time it feels like it's going to tip, people push back and it goes the other way.
That's right.
Whether it's
That's right.
economy, whether it's, we see all this stuff ebbs and flows. Get ready for the ride.
That's right. Just
Doesn't,
hold
you
on.
know, just know it's going to be up and down. No, we're never promised smooth sailing,
No, and it's interesting because a lot of the young people, they want to live here, so they're willing to
Yeah,
work two
totally.
and three jobs. That's why I don't believe the unemployment is down. If it's down, it's because people are holding more than one job. So, that's a
Of
whole
course.
nother, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know of very many younger people who don't have more than one job, but they want to be here.
Absolutely.
And that's why my
And
husband came here too. He was a forester in the summer. He's a contracting forester, and then in the winter he was a lifty or he worked up at Schweik
Totally.
because he wanted to ski, and so that's the lifestyle
It
that,
is. It is. And that's okay. It's
that's
good.
great. We offer
It's just
that.
part of one of the dynamic things about living here, mm-hmm. you know? So,
yeah.
Over the past, you know, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
Close to 20 at the chamber, or not 20, but 10 years
right.
at the chamber.
10 years at the chamber.
Hang on. Hold on.
Okay. Gotta have a drink. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'll do math in my head again
oh
in a moment.
Oh my gosh, math. All right. Okay.
So you've been working with the chamber for 10 years. What are some of the big changes that you've seen in the last 10 years about this community?
Some of the tangible changes are, you know, the streetscapes and changing back to one way. One of the very most tangible is some of the tension that resides in our town now.
I agree.
Yeah,
it was not like this.
No, it had always been from redneck to hippie. We all get along.
Mm-hmm.
You can live in your yep. backyard, don't hurt anybody. And we really thought about our values. We valued education, mm-hmm. the environment. We take care of each other. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting now that, you know, and I running for office the very first time, that was really difficult for me. It was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. I mean, people thinking that they know you because you have a letter behind your name and accusing mm-hmm. you of things. And it's yeah. like, that's just not,
yeah.
you know, and like you said, I was hoping in debate it would be, I'll say this and they say this and we're going to vote for you. And that's yep. really not the way of the world anymore. And it's very sad because we still are a community. We mm-hmm. still value these things and take care of each other.
Yeah.
And I think that is the very biggest,
okay.
is the very biggest thing. And I also, maybe a second thing too, and another reason that I ran for city council was because I think that we're taking our eye off the underserved.
Okay.
The people who make minimum wage
mm-hmm.
And serve us our food and work retail. I think their voices are missing. And
yeah.
I'm kind of tired of that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You are, you know, you jumped in the election before last. You ran for office and you talked about the letter behind your name. So I believe the letter's a D. Is that correct?
Well, it's funny. I wanted to run as an independent because I'm actually, it'd be a C. I'm really, or an M in the middle. But
okay.
I call, yeah. you know, when we had conversations with the state,
mm-hmm.
because it was actually my moderate Republican friends who asked me to run. And the state said, well, you can't really run as an independent. You won't get any money or any support. And so I said, okay, well, I'll run as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting. I always, because if you would have asked anybody before that I declared that, I think they would have said, I have no idea what her political
right.
leanings are.
Totally. Yeah.
She cares about people and mm-hmm. cares about our town. And so, I have found through the two election cycles is that most of us are somewhere in the middle.
Agreed.
The extremes
yeah.
have gotten so extreme
mm-hmm.
that those of us in the middle are like, whoa, wait a minute. What happened
yeah.
to common sense?
Yeah.
Why aren't we listening to each other?
Yeah.
You know, and it's difficult, and you know better than I. Mm-hmm. You do so much better than I. I have such a temper when you get me wound up.
Mm-hmm.
But you are so, that's what I admire most about you, is that you can have these conversations
yeah.
and
yep.
you remain calm. And I just couldn't.
Ask
think
my
could.
Wife if I remain calm when I get home later.
Right? Like, right?
So, you know, running as a Democrat in a county
mm-hmm.
that's primarily Republican,
mm-hmm.
and yet we also have a huge Democrat base in the city of Sandpoint,
sure.
right? And in some mm-hmm. of the, you know, so we're a multifaceted community,
oh, yeah.
and we have been for a long time.
Right.
It's not like all of a sudden Democrats showed up. They've
no.
been Democrats in the city forever.
Right, right.
You know, it's been a very long time. So I don't see that the political lines have really shifted much.
Mm-mm.
It's just where people sit on those lines
right.
has shifted, like you were saying.
Right.
And so one of the things happens, you're running for office, you've got a D behind the name, which then any of the worst assumptions that can be made were made.
Yes.
About you personally.
Oh, yeah.
And it was intense
yeah.
to watch it because
mm-hmm.
I was... I'd be like, have you ever talked to this
right.
person? Like I was always kind of shocked at what I was hearing.
Right.
And so, and I would look at it and I go, oh, okay, you know, and you're fiery enough.
Right. That people go, oh, that's probably true.
And if you're hearing something that you find to be unjust, you don't mind telling people what you think.
Right.
Right. And exactly. And I think I think that half of the nation elected a president because of that.
Right.
Just says what he thinks, right. Even right. if you're not sure what exactly he's getting at, you know, he's saying what he thinks. And I think that that's, I think it's a stabilizing force in politics. Mm-hmm. So I'll just be my personal thing is I think that the person who can say what they're actually thinking without all the butter, even if it's a hard pill to swallow,
right,
is more valuable than the smooth talker.
Well, without being cruel,
right?
Or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or mean, but
totally,
right,
yeah.
Because it's everything is spun lately, and so you know, like, and I think that's what increased my credibility in the chamber is business owners would say, well, what about this? Or I don't know about that. And I would say, I'll go find out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I would go ask those questions.
Yeah.
You know, I would annoy people at the city and say, I want you to tell me why this is happening. And then I'd go back and say, well, this is why. You can't fix it, but this is why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think that's needed. Although I really do understand that people are very displeased with government. I get that.
Totally get it. Yeah.
It's like we're just waking up now and everybody's been lying to us. I get that. And I get that you want a disruptor. But if you're going to blow something apart, what are you going to put in its place? Because as human beings, we cannot. That's why we have to have policies, because there's one or two people that, you know. And so it's, I always want to think beyond that and think, okay, well, you blow this up, then tell me what you're going to put in its place.
Did that experience give you a distrust for media? Because it seemed like there was some different articles that were written that were a little what I would say kind of off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there were certain publications.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't mind the letters to the editor, even though I tried not to read them, because some of them are very cruel and very false, very, very false. But there are several publications that really take it and go completely the other way. And it's like, where in the world? I mean, it's as if they said I was 5'10" and weighed 100 pounds, right? It's like, that is so not true.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you find for your voice? What medium did you connect with that said, here's how I can tell people what I actually believe and what I think? Did you find that, or have you found that?
Not really. The only thing that works for me is face to face. And I find as I get older, I want to be able to, because I enjoy people, studying people. And, you know, again, I think when you grow up how I did, you learn how to size people up, friend or foe, within a few minutes.
Right.
And
yeah,
so,
totally.
Right. And so I think there's nothing better than sitting and talking to someone and really letting them get to know you. My hope is, as a city council person, that I will get to go to staff meetings of, you know, the restaurants, et cetera, and just say, tell me what you know. I don't know that there is a media. I appreciate the reader. I really do. And I say that because I probably had more interaction with them than the B has always been very professional.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and through the chamber we use them, but I don't know. I don't know. Other than face to face and talking to people, I really don't know.
Okay. When you started this process of running for office, and we went through kind of a little bit of the political drama. Now, I'm a political geek, so I love studying that stuff. And I always wonder about the things that you're most passionate about. Did you feel like you were able to express that during your campaign? Like when you ran this last time and you said, these are the things that are really important to me. Do you feel like you were able to connect with voters about what was important for you?
Yes, I really do. And I don't know if it's age now to where, you know, wisdom, as lovely Quinn says, if I'm to the point where you come to a certain point in your life where you look in the mirror and you say, okay, people think I'm a loudmouth and this and this, and you say to yourself,
think?
Right. And I say to myself, And you have to say, but I am that person.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
I am. That's who I am.
Yeah, I love it.
And I say what I think. And so it was, I enjoyed the campaign because I did get to stand up and say what I thought. I, you know, of course, it's the one quote that everybody put in when they asked me a question about the lawsuit. And, you know, I said I was pissed off. And of course, that's the thing that they put in the paper.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm passionate about. And so I have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be out of the workforce in, what, 7 years? Mm-hmm. And so that gives you a sort of freedom to where you're younger and you have to worry about, I can't lose my job, I can't.
Yeah.
And it's also to the point where I'm done pretending.
That's good.
These are the things that I care about. I care about this community. Yeah, and whether you think it's Pollyanna or anybody else does, it's like, she really can't feel that way. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because this is how, you know, this is who I am and how
so,
I feel.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the perception of Kate McAllister, because you are a strong, fiery, using your term, loudmouth.
Yeah.
Okay, just to be clear. But you've got a personality type that bodes well for being the loudest person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And when people look at you, and how do you think people really perceive you? Like, you've got those traits, but when you think about, I always do the self-test.
Okay.
let me just explain what's happening here.
Right.
So I always do the self-test of, can I see myself, if I look in a mirror, can I see myself clearly, or am I deceived about who I am? And, you know, not to get too esoterical or deep or anything else, but, there's tells for if I'm deceiving myself, right? There's these moments where you go, oh, I am not seeing myself very clearly. And so oftentimes what happens is I'll get feedback from somebody who's close to me and they'll say, hey, when you said that, that's not who you really are. Right. And you go, oh, and I got to step back and take a look at myself. Do you find that your perception of yourself is matching what other people see you as? Or is it one of those things where you can see how they see you and you're like, yeah, okay, they can see that?
That's a very deep question.
It is super deep. It's probably the deepest question I've asked so far. But I just like putting you on the spot. So,
you know, every day before I start my day, I ask to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never want my ego to get out ahead of me.
Okay.
And I try to, and I think that's another thing that comes with age, is that most times now I think before I speak rather than just opening my mouth.
That's
and
good. Yeah.
Right. Because you never know who you're going to offend. And even if I want to get a point across, I don't want to offend someone because we're all deliciously human, whether we think weird thoughts and we, right. And so I guess my staff is very sweet and I have to give a shout out to them because I don't think I'm a big deal. And they tell me almost on a daily basis, oh, you're a big deal. People want to, and I don't see that. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself as, I see myself just as an ordinary person and that I was blessed with this large voice and a good vocabulary and I'm smart. And so I feel that I was put here so that I can be the voice for the voiceless. And that's what I need to do. And so that's what I try to keep my eye on is that when it gets tough and I get scared, you know, or every day I think I hope I can do right by everybody. I hope that I can do the right thing because I know if I let my ego get out ahead of me. And when I teach leadership, I talk about we all need ego to move in the world.
You have to have some.
But you can tell the difference between an ego-driven leader and somebody who is a really good, humble leader. And I think that I have said, there have been times when I spout off and say things, but then I will feel bad about it for days. I really will. It's being raised Irish Catholic, right?
Come on, you got to feel guilty.
Yeah, got to feel guilty about something.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because ego to, you know, a lot of leadership experts consider ego to be a tool.
Right.
Right, like sometimes you need to ramp it up. Yeah. And sometimes you need to dial it back. Do you have control of it or is it controlling you? And I think that that's a really, you know, great way to say, I'm asking for humility every morning.
Every morning.
Like, but I also know that there's moments where I know that I can do this, or I know that I have this capacity, or I'm going to stand on this thing and I'm going to be fine.
Right.
You know, and you can have that confidence, which is very different than necessarily being an egomaniac. But
well,
it's a difficult thing to tread, because people who don't have control of it definitely feel like if you're using it, that you must just be full of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I made a deal with myself.
Oh, well,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my good. My ego can live on the stage.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
Because I love
that's
theater.
That's a great place to put it.
I was always.
That's really good. I like that.
Well, yeah. I was always a singer. Yeah. I was never an actor till I was 40.
What kind of stuff do you sing?
I sing everything. I sing in bands. I sing church songs.
Okay.
Forever.
Come on. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I play the ukulele.
All right. Go
I
on.
Mean,
go.
Come on.
You play the ukulele?
Hey, yeah.
Come on. We need to.
Because I did.
I'm gonna have you over. We're gonna jam.
Okay, good. Yeah. I did want to be a singer. My dream was to sing with John Denver or James Taylor.
Oh, that's
I would have
so
been
fun.
Perfect with them, right? But I discovered theater, and so I tell myself, that's where I get to be a diva. That's where I get to when I'm on
that's
stage
great.
And I'm an
fun.
Actress. So that's where my ego lives.
Okay.
But when it's really about, you know, being a leader and leading the people, every day it's like, please don't let me get out of control, because I know that I could.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I could take this and run with it and just be a horrific person. And I don't want that. I have grandchildren that I want to look up to me.
It's good to acknowledge that that's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if the people who don't acknowledge their potential to do something really bad are in trouble.
Right.
So I wonder about this dive into city council.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about being driven by a few different things. You talked about, you know, the speaking up for, you know, the little guy. You're talking about the people in the community that maybe don't have an advocate for them,
right.
Whether it's in business or employees or just different people. What other things kind of drove you to say, okay, I got to step in here and do something with my voice and step into city council? What kind of drove you on that?
Actually, one of the things I'm really proud of is I know a lot of lovely young people, young people between 35 and 45, who are just extraordinary human beings in the middle of raising their kids, running their businesses, right?
Yeah.
And so it was a group of them, actually, who got together and asked me if I would run. And I said, what? Are you kidding? And they said, no, we want you to be our voice and to represent us. And we think you'd be great for Sandpoint because you love Sandpoint. And so the deal I made with them is, okay, I will do this, but I'm doing it so that you can follow me after. Because someone else has to take over. I said, I'm going to get to a certain point where you're all going to be pushing my wheelchair and I'm going to be screaming at you and bring me another whiskey, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, we know how the Irish work.
Right, and so I and they all said, okay. And so I was very humbled by that this lovely group of young people said, please do this for us.
Yeah.
You know, and then after I won, one of the best things was I was sitting at iCards and Reese, the chef, he came out of the kitchen and saw me and he ran over and gave me a hug and said, I voted for you.
Oh, that's cool.
And then another young woman behind a retail counter came up and said, I voted for you. And that was really overwhelming to me. It was really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, and I'm so honored by that. And
that's
so,
cool.
You know, and I asked for humility because I don't want to let them down.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't want to let, the people who believe in me, and that's a hard thing, you know, but I also told them that, you know, there are going to be decisions that I make that I'm sure you're not going to like, but you need to be involved. That's your part of it. Because if you're going to acquiesce all your power to me, oh, I voted, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to be left to make up my mind based on my opinions.
Yeah.
And that isn't how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff happening at the city. That was beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
There's a bunch of stuff happening in the city. We've got planning happening.
Mm-hmm.
We got surveys going out.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so hopefully everybody who's watching is participating. If you live in the area, you don't have to live in the city of Sandpoint to take the surveys. There's the last question is, where do you live?
Where do you live?
Do you live in? Do you live out? Do you live in Dover, Ponterey, Kootenai, County, right? So they want to get everybody's input, not just city of Sandpoint. So just to be clear, Bonner County, fill out those things.
Yeah.
And they're long, but fill them out.
Right.
Which is good. They're trying to get the data, right? So we've got planning going on. We've got a whole slew of different issues at hand right now. Are there any that you're looking at going, Okay. I really have a strong opinion and really feel like I need to make sure I'm really clear about this issue. Is there any out there that you would go, I'd really want to talk about that one? You can talk about anything,
They're all
just
important.
know
I
we're
mean, I
being
don't.
recorded.
Yeah, I know.
So
That's what I. That was the pause. Well,
So what was it?
Well, I'm, as I said in the forums, I'm pissed off about the lawsuit.
Did you watch my interview with Dan?
I haven't yet. No.
Okay. It's worth a watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's both our tax dollars.
Yeah.
And like I said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. But for me, the big thing is U of I did, they came and did a study of the festival. And by this time, we're up to about $2.8 million. That's the revenue that the festival brings in. And I think about the businesses. I think about our little businesses. The first, as some of them said to me, the first weekend, we could be okay because it's still summer, right? But then the second one, where it's about mid-August, half of Idaho goes back to school in mid-August, and so do some Washington schools. And that would be where they would lose a lot of money. Like we talked before about squirrels gathering their nuts when they can, right? This is the time that they do it. And so for me to think about not having a festival, it's when I think about, the big picture and the businesses, some of them would have to close down. And I find that, and but I get on the other hand, it's our second, Second Amendment right. I mean, my husband was a hunter. We have guns in the house and
Yeah, so it was an interesting conversation. I'll even put a we should probably just pull a clip of that out of
okay.
that conversation with Dan and have it available online, because it was interesting, the process that they went through, and the process that they went through with the city. From Dan's perspective, it was very interesting, and so it'd be worth a watch. I think one of the things that's interesting is that there are festivals that don't have a agreement to not have guns in the state of Idaho. So because it happens with the management and the contracts and the asks, right? Like, so we're asking that it be a gun-free zone and the place can say yes or no. No, actually, we're not a gun-free, we let people carry here. Okay. It's Idaho. People say yes or no to that. So I think from what I understood, that there's actually a lot of room for these musicians and the management companies to say yes or no, to come in to an event, whether or not it is that. Now, the lease issues, all that kind of stuff, I'm not, I don't know, but I think even if when court plays out, if it ends up saying, boy, you know what? You can't ban guns on public property, even to a lesser, to somebody who's leasing. Okay, well, or leasee. So, all right, then what? Right now, what do we do? Is it that no bans could ever come? Does the festival shut down? Doesn't seem like that would be the case. I think we'd still be okay. So again, it's like, okay, is there this other option in the middle that we might be able to come to? Have you met the new gal, the interim ED at the festival yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. What do you think?
I like her.
Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
I think
Yeah.
she's great. I think that the I think they're going to be I think they're going to be just
I
fine.
think so too. I really do.
Oh yeah. But a
Yeah, I
lot of the
think.
musicians will not sign,
I
and
agree.
especially after Vegas when that happened. And it can happen anywhere. I'm not saying that it
Right.
can't,
Yeah.
but I've always been someone that why are you going to mix alcohol and
And
guns?
firearms.
I
Yeah.
just don't, but I'm
I don't know. What is there a gun prohibition, concealed carry prohibition in bars in Idaho? There is in
I don't know.
Washington.
I don't
I
know.
bartended in Washington, and they weren't you were not allowed to carry even concealed in bars in the state of Washington. I don't know if that's the same here, but
Yeah. I don't know.
yeah.
No, I think the festival's going to be great. I think they just kind of, it always tests your mettle, what you're made out of when things go crazy. And in board training, I teach that if you're only on a board for the good times, then get off.
Well, I'm super excited because it sounds like one of the things that I enjoy about the way that our local government is set up, and the one thing that I do enjoy about having a city versus a county, right, and having a little opposition there, is that there's always this with the tension's been always been fairly bad between the two. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got this huge opportunity, I think even through this lawsuit, to come out on the other side really having a much better line of communication than we've ever had before.
I hope so. Well, I thought that's where BRT was going.
Well, and I'd love to chat about that a little bit too, because I think that that we've got to consistently go, okay, I think that was a crack that we took at creating this communication pipeline, the Bonner Regional Team.
Yeah.
For those that are watching that are wondering what the BRT is. So we had a group of stakeholders from all over the community, including county, including city officials, planning people from all the different four local cities, and then people in the county and Sully Valley. We had people from, you know, Clark Fork and East Hope, and you know, that were all in the same room, and we're all having these conversations. Mm-hmm. Nobody's making a decision. We're just saying, hey, can we agree on, number one, how are we going to have the conversation?
Right.
And then when we have a conversation, what are our next steps to make sure we're following the rules?
Right.
Right. And that was part of the process. Right. And so that got shut down essentially through the Bonner County commissioners saying that they were not going to allow any of their staff to attend.
Right.
And so when you don't have planning staff there, and we're talking about planning issues,
right,
now we're playing telephone again. And the whole point was to get everybody in the room.
Yeah, because we had some really great conversations.
It was really good.
It really was.
It was really good. And, you know, there's antagonists.
Yeah, and Jeff Conley, he was the one who still, he came to every meeting. Uh-huh. And,
But two of them wouldn't be allowed to come.
Right.
Two commissioners couldn't show up at the same time, because then it would violate open law meetings.
Right.
Which it was a public meeting anyways, but there's a agendized formula that's required for open source meetings. And, you know,
I had to go to training on that.
Yeah, it just is what it is. But, you know, so I wonder, I think that out of this, hopefully, there'll be a way for the city and the county to begin to communicate in a different fashion.
Right.
I believe it should, all the communication should be radically transparent.
Yeah.
As like they're like the backdoor deals go away.
Right.
The, hey, you know, it's like, you know, sending a letter or pulling one commissioner aside and saying, hey, I want to do this thing, da, 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 is not a meeting and it's not transparent.
Right.
So I think creating a transparent system that's open to the public, even potentially, not all conversations I think are required for that, but I think at least having it be transparent and figuring out how to do that. I hope that through this process that becomes a major a major pin, because everyone's complaint was the communication is so bad.
Right.
I mean, you just heard that over and over.
Well, and we
over.
All live in this area together. It's like, let's figure it again. Let's go back to our values.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what we all value, because I know we have things in common. We have to. We're human beings.
Yeah, we do.
Right. And so it's like, let's figure out what that is. And you know, and then every time we stray off the path, let's point to our values and say, remember, this is why we're here. Let's keep this conversation, and to have real conversations with each other. And, you know, and that's difficult, I think, for some people.
It is. It's hard. It's hard. What do you want to have happen in the next few years on council? What are some big things that you're pushing for?
Inclusion is one of my, you know, I know. And I know,
what does that mean?
That means the making sure that the disenfranchised are heard, that they know. You know, I think it's awesome, all these wonderful people moving to Sandpoint, retirees and getting involved. And that's great. Their voice is important. But it's also important to listen to the minimum wage earner, because it's their town, too.
Yep.
And I have, I feel as though they get discounted a lot.
Totally.
I mean, even, you know, talking about the surveys, someone said to me, I don't understand what half of those words mean. Now, I was taught in business writing that sixth grade level is the level that is that equals everybody out in understanding. Mm-hmm. And so I get that. It's like if you read a couple of those, because one of my staff was taking it today.
Technical questions.
Right.
Too,
and you read it. We understand what it is because we live that jargon.
Totally. Yeah.
But how do you expect someone who it's like, I don't know what I don't know what any of this means. So it's like, do you really? I don't know. I think for me, I want City to be accessible to everyone. Okay. I want them to know that their voice counts.
Yep.
I want them to be involved in however way they can be involved.
I will say the City of Sandpoint has done a phenomenal job with their Engage Sandpoint app. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything needs to, you know, you can always, oh, change this, do this better, do that right. better. It seems like there's been a ton of effort on behalf of the city to reach out.
Right. Well, yeah, well, you know, it's the same thing as at the chamber. Like, people will say, well, we never know what's going on. I say, well, you know, we have social media. Oh, I'm not on Facebook. Oh, well, you know, we put an article in the Reader and the Bee. Yeah, I don't get the paper.
Well, we send out an email newsletter.
Right, I don't do that. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like you do as much as you can for the general population,
it's
right?
It's true. It's true.
And it's like, well, do you want me to spoon feed you?
Well, and you know what's great is we don't have to worry about any of those people watching this video.
Whoa. You mean I'm doing this because there's no one's watching? No.
The people that don't do social media.
Right.
They're not going to see this on Facebook.
Yeah. So I think the city is doing everything that they can. But again, you know, and it's where the citizens also need to be accountable.
Agreed.
This is your town. Yeah. Get involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and because the first thing I ask when somebody starts complaining about whatever is happening, whether it's streets or whatever, it's like, so did you go to any of the open meetings? Well, no. Mm. Did you vote? No. Then I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because there are so many open meetings and they put them at so many different times so people can go to different times. And, you know, I just think that citizens need to be accountable too. You can't, if you're going to give me all that power, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That is not a good thing.
Well, and I think that point came up multiple times in the forums.
Yeah.
Was like, okay, you're upset. You're complaining about this decision, but we had four people at that meeting.
Right. Yeah. Or some of the questions. I remember one of the questions at the library was, you know, what is your vision and how are you going to fund it and what are you going to do? And it's like, this is not my vision. This belongs to the community. This is our vision. Mm-hmm. And there's already a budget. Why would mm-hmm. I fundraise for mm-hmm. it? And so some of the questions were very telling in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. It's like, this is not I should not have an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
My opinion is what you, the voting public, mm-hmm. wants. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're going to throw away your power to come talk to me, then it'll be based off what mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think a lot of things.
So
I'm a thinker. I'm a Buccaneer scholar.
Ooh.
I read a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff are you reading now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love Brain Candy. So John Grisham's latest novel, The Guardians, was my...
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
I've been reading The New Earth, which is very interesting. There's a website called Academic Earth.
Mm-mm.
I'm really into neuroscience now.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And so there's a whole course on the brain and neuropsychology.
Yeah.
Reading about five books at any time.
Where you can hit people in the head and have them act properly?
Yes.
Is that a, you know?
Yes. The proper place to hit them. Right. How hard. Right. Yeah.
If only.
Cast iron
if
skillet.
Only.
Yeah, right. If only I could reach. Right. That's the problem.
That was good. I'm glad you shot that one at yourself.
That's why I'm loud, because I'm so short.
Yeah, you got to be heard. Yeah,
people think I'm tall.
So tell me just to kind of as we close up here,
mm-hmm.
What do you sense as being, you know, over the next 4 or 5 years, some of the big changes that we're going to see in Sandpoint? Any idea?
I really don't have any idea. Because, you know, every time you try to second guess or you try to make, you know, I really don't know. I think that hopefully we can get the housing issue so people will have homes to live in. Mm-hmm. I think that would be great. The streets will be done,
mm-hmm.
so we'll have no more. I hope that we have more business come in. Mm-hmm. More entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. open up little businesses in our area.
I feel like we're a little entrepreneurial mecca here.
We are. And I think I feel as though we're on the precipice of something big.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, you know, and everybody says, oh, we don't want to be a resort town. We don't want to be Sun Valley. And it's like, well, I don't know how you stop that, even if, right? But I don't think that we don't have that vibe that, you know, Sun Valley or we're more down to earth. We're more, and I see us being really... a recreation. We already are now, but even more so the recreation, because people are looking for calm. They're looking for a place where they can go away. It's like when we won Most Beautiful Small Town in America. Coeur d'Alene Press called me and said, why did you win and we didn't? And I said, well, you're acting as if we're all the same experience, and we are three different experiences. Coeur d'Alene is the big sister who went off to Brown or Harvard and got a big degree. And she's very fancy. Yes. Sandpoint is the middle sister.
Went to Brown or Harvard.
Right, right. Yeah. Sandpoint's the middle sister with ponytail and blue jeans. Just be nice to each other.
Drives a Subaru.
Right. Just be cool. Mm-hmm. Take care of each other. And Bonner's Ferry's the kid sister, and we're bringing her up the best that we can.
Wow.
Right? And so we're completely different experiences. And I think, you know, for Sandpoint,
you're hilarious. I love
that's
it.
That's who we are. We're just, you know, we're very down-to-earth people.
And it's true. It's true. We are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we want to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never known a community that if someone, you know, and here, especially in forestry and loggers, a lot of people don't have insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to hundreds of spaghetti feeds that to take care of someone, you know, being a part of the Angels. Mm-hmm. We've cleaned houses. We've. All right. So, you know, I think that I just want us to be a stronger community.
Yeah.
I want us to get all, remember our values.
Mm-hmm. You and I have worked together a little bit on housing issues.
Mm-hmm.
You were part of our housing subcommittee with the Bonner Regional Team. And, you know, I wonder when it comes to housing, I believe that the corporate and public partnership for long-term affordability is going to have to happen.
Oh.
Because I was so I was sitting with Raphael Barda and Stephanie from the association, did an interview with them a couple weeks ago, right before Christmas. And, you know, Raphael's like, the affordability shift in Sandpoint has sailed. We got to find some other ways so that we don't turn into the next whatever, as far as making sure that the people who the what you would call a disenfranchised group of people that want to be here, live here and work here, but cannot afford to live here, that they have opportunity. And, you know, I always believe that there's always a third option.
Right.
There's always another way to get it done.
There we just has have to be. For I it, mean, you know, the conversations I enjoyed on the BRT was, you know, and Sun Valley is a good example. You have that first little town where all the workhousing is, right? Yep. Then you have Haley, and then you have Ketchum. And I don't want that to happen here. I think it was Jeff who said, you know, we don't want all the low-income housing in Priest River.
Yep.
You know, and that's true. We all need to, you know, it's basic, a place to live.
Yeah.
And we've got to figure that out. And I think we will. We're all smart enough that we can figure it out. But the community land trust thing is...
Yeah,
when I win the lottery, I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm doing it for teachers.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got to win the lottery first.
Do think that there's a lot of opportunity for it.
Yes.
And I get my door knocked on all the time by developers saying, how can we participate? So we're going to continue to flesh that idea out, regardless of if we are able to fund any of it with Idaho housing dollars. We need to make some of that stuff happen. So I don't care where the money comes from. We're gonna keep hacking away at it.
Well, and I came up with a great idea called entrepreneurial homesteading, but would take a whole nother hour. I've got to have an economist.
Let's do another session in a month or so.
I've got, I need to talk to an economist friend because the community trust would play into it.
Well, why don't you bring your economist friend on the show and let's have the conversation.
Well, she lives in Bozeman. I'll have to talk her into coming here.
I can't pay for her gas, but Ting. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Hey, Ting.
No, Ting's been great. I think we have so many opportunities for amazing things to happen in this community.
Oh yeah. You know, we have more PhDs per capita in Sandpoint than we do the whole state of Idaho. Did you know that?
I did not know that. We have some smart people here. Wow. That's very impressive.
And that includes you and I. Although I don't have a PhD.
Not
but,
me
you
either.
Know.
But, you know. we the smart ones.
We are smart.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about what's happening. And people kind of look at me sideways when I go, I'm really excited about where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, I had a friend say that on the brink of war feels just the same as on the brink of peace. It's yes. just how you look at it.
Right, right. And these are the times that bring us to answers.
That's
when
right.
we're on the precipice of crisis, right?
Well, and yeah. you know, and I think we'll save the, I want to have a little more conversation about the tension in the region, mm-hmm. but we're going to save that for the Patreon. So,
okay.
It's so good to have you on.
Thank you.
This has been such a good conversation.
Yeah.
Time flew. This was good.
Right.
So, all right.
We're both talkers.
That's it. That's it. Awesome. Okay, good. Well, thanks for coming on. And
thank you.
If you want to watch any of the follow-up conversation, it's on our Patreon. And you can go to Bonner Breakdown. Just go to patreon.com/Bonner Breakdown. And it's there. Of course, you can see us on Facebook, YouTube. Anywhere that you get podcasts, you can listen to the Bonner Breakdown in audio form, whether it's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on all of that. And always know that any links that you're looking for should be in the information section below. Also, make sure you click the button, hit the bell, follow, like, subscribe, all that stuff, and share this out with a friend. If you thought this was an interesting conversation worth someone listening, share it out. All right, thanks. And we're going to continue in just about a minute with Patreon. So.
Uh-oh. Now what?
Now you get to be really real.